Welcome to season two of the Halftime Report, powered by Sports Cannabis. I'm your host, D-Ray, and today we're joined by absolute legend, retired NFL athlete, cannabis advocate, entrepreneur, and the co-founder of Lion Order, Mike James. What's going on?
What's up with you, man? I'm good. Just joined this Monday.
I'm about to say, this joint is definitely, I don't know how your start was already, but mine is, it's like, okay, this is a very Monday. The shit started early.
Yeah, heavy Monday today.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But we got to embrace it. We got to keep it moving. We got to keep it rolling. Thank you for jumping on again this season. We had you on season one, and you hit us with a lot of insight as far as your career and your journey with cannabis. But today, I want to jump right in what's on your hat. Lion Order. Stalked your IG before we started this, John. I just see Lion Order. Y'all are making heavy moves. So, real quick, where y'all at today? Where things are going right now? How is Lion Order?
I mean, Lion Order's doing very well. I mean, we're in Michigan and looking to hopefully grow from our base in Michigan. But, you know, we're a brand that's deeply rooted in Rastafarian principles, and we value self-care and integrity over anything else. So, we're going to continue to spread that message all over the world.
I like that. And for you personally, you know, we had touched on it last time, but just really to get in detail, what was it about Lion Order where you were like, all right, these are my guys. This is the pack I want to run with. This is who I'm rolling with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we talked about integrity. I mean, you know, Ro has always carried that throughout his life. He's been born with it. He's taught that, you know, from his father and his Rastafarian principles. And I knew aligning with that was the same thing that I wanted to do and continue to, you know, change the legalization of this plant, you know, and help people that need it the most and spread love as best as I could.
For you, how have you been? Because I see in all the pictures, it's you. You're happy. You got a glow about you. You can tell that you're doing stuff that you're truly passionate about.
Yeah, and I've been blessed to be able to stay in my purpose, you know, when it comes down to things that I want to do in this life. So, you know, that's where that, you know, that sense of joy comes from, you know, just the fact that I'm being able to help people. And I'm able to do all the things that I've set forth for my life. So it's a proud moment, you know, and I'm steady just building on top of it. And hopefully I can continue to bring people along and do the things that I've been set out to do in this life, you know.
For you, when you were in the NFL, I could imagine a lot of what you're doing now is because you understand if I had a me, X, Y, and Z would have went better. So let's say you're talking to a rookie today or just somebody in the league in general. With what you know now about the plant and the modality of it, what are you telling
them? I'm speaking to them about, you know, just better options. You know, like everything doesn't work for everybody. You know, even, you know, when it's coming down to cannabis, everybody isn't a heavy user, you know, just because, you know, they have certain ailments. So, you know, I'm just speaking to them about options, you know, and understanding that hey, you have a life to live after the sport you play and you want that life to be very fruitful and very in a position where you can continue it, you know, in a happy manner. So so for me, what really got me to that option is this was the therapy use of exemption, the TUE. It's something that I wasn't granted, but I put it in the process for it. So what it is it's anything that's on a banned substance list that's been prescribed by a doctor. You will and should be able to take it as long as the league is on notice for it. And that's what the therapy use of exemption is for. So make the league and make the team aware of what's going on with your body and what you're doing. So I thought that I would, you know, try to enter that process as well with a less harmful medicine. Of course, there's some regulation things on this medicine, but there's some regulation things with a lot of things. And my biggest thing was for it to be removed off the banned substance list. So there can be an opportunity to be able to use the plant without any punishment.
Was there anything before that? Was it the drugs they were prescribing you before that you didn't like, or what pushed you to that point?
It kind of just wasn't me. You know, of course, I had my own issues, but it was a league-wide thing where guys just weren't given better options. You know, I won't get into the whole push, play, you know, what the leagues make you do, what coaches and players are making each other do. It's more of just there was a systematic thing that needs to be corrected, you know, and I think that comes down to options. Simply removing things, adding things, and giving letting there be more options for the players.
Mm-hmm. And at one point, you had said, you were quoted saying, I just wanted to do my job when it came to your use of cannabis while playing football. Yeah. During those days, not going to ask you to go through the routine, but what did it help you with? I think a lot of people, they get lost in the idea of, oh, an athlete is smoking. And they think it's like, oh, they want to smoke or, you know, they just find it cool. But I have to imagine for you, you were very in tune with, no, this is helping with X, Y, and Z, and that is why I want to use this particular plant.
Yeah, I mean, basically because I always approached it from the medical standpoint, you know, I never really used cannabis recreational, you know, at that point, you know, it was more of a medical thing. So, you know, for me, I just was trying to do what was working, something that was going to help me be able to do my job at a high level. It was going to give me less side effects from the medicines and things that I was taking.
The education part of it, did that come from, were you self-educated or was it somebody that kind of, you know, nudged you like, hey, you know about X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah, that was some self-education, but also I have to give a lot of credit to my lawyer, Brian Marescu, and my daughter Cicely. They did a wonderful job in equipping me with the things and the knowledge that I needed to know to be able to speak on certain things the way I needed to when it came down to helping the doctors on the teams and things like that, you know, get my message across, relay my message. You know, I think that was the biggest thing, is trying to scientifically get my message across to the people that I needed to. And I think, you know, Dr. Cicely and Brian Marescu really helped me out tremendously with that.
At what point did you have a aha moment when it came to?
You know, at the beginning, you know, I mean, I was using, you know, a harmful substance, you know, I was had a dependence on opiates. So it wasn't, you know, shocking, you know, for me, you know, later on, because it happened for me earlier, just like, okay, this is a better option for me. And now I just need to figure out why and have some better conversations and communication about why is this better for me, because I just feel it, you know, I don't know exactly why yet, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, my second year in the league when I first started using.
Let's fast forward 10 years into the future. What do you want somebody to say about the impact that you had on cannabis as far as advocating for athletes?
Just that I was, you know, one of the guys that tried to do it, you know, the right way. I mean, you got so many guys before me, from Marvin Jones to Ricky Williams to Eben to Eugene Monroe. I mean, there's so many guys before me, Kyle Turley, so many guys that Al Harrington, so many guys, I can keep going. So many guys before me in the respective sports that I look up to, that I seen all of their stories, and it gave me an opportunity to say, all right, I want not only my story to be validated, but I wanted theirs to be validated as well, that they just weren't talking crazy. They knew exactly what they were talking about. But, you know, I know over years and years of going through and watching the system continue to be the system, I wanted to be able to put something in place where not only the things that I felt were recognized, but all the things that the guys before me did were, you know, there was some validation to that. So that's why, you know, I went about the process the way I did.
You just said the system. What do you think it would take from the NFL in particular for you to feel as though things are moving in the right direction?
I mean, I can say I've seen a lot. I mean, outside of the NFL, I've seen a lot of movement. I mean, even the NCAA recommended to take, you know, recommended to remove cannabis off the banned substance list. I mean, that's something I thought I'd never see. You know, you're talking about, you know, I played in the NCAA, you played in the NCAA.
Yeah.
And just like for them to come to that realization was, to me, just as big as the NFL making a decision like that, because it affects so many people. You know what I'm saying? The NCAA, to me, it affects a lot more people. So, you're talking about multiple sports, you know?
Yeah. So why? All right. So for you, you put the NFL and NCAA on the same playing field as far as impact here?
I mean, think about this. The NCAA has impacted more athletic lives than the NFL.
True.
Because it has the opportunity to do so.
True.
I mean, I'm talking about from Division II to Division I. I'm talking about schools that we don't even know about, schools that we don't even know the inner workings of. So you went to Villanova, I went to Miami, you know, two prestigious schools, and I don't know the inner workings of Villanova. You don't know the inner workings of Miami, but we're all under the NCAA umbrella. And that goes from LSU, Alabama, Tennessee, Ohio State. I mean, think about how many students, sports, and things that's covered under that. Sports that we don't even talk about, rowing and gymnastics. And, you know,
so do you think the domino of them saying, let's move forward with this, is going to kind of nudge the NFL? Because the NBA already removed it. The NBA is like, all right, you know what, whatever. Hockey might be the most liberal with it. And then baseball is moving in with the CBD thing, and they're trying to figure out how they can make money off of it. But the NFL seems to be the one that's just like, they threw that million at it. Here it was, do the research, but you haven't heard much of it since then. Do you think the NCAA is going to kind of nudge the NFL in that direction?
I mean, for you think about the conglomerate of what amateur sports has been to this country, and for it to remove something that we have, that the world and the country have sometimes deemed is so unnecessary or not needed, for them to say, no, we can't continue to punish these athletes for the use of this plant. I mean, if you don't take a look at it now, when will you? Because everybody now has jumped on the other side of the mountain. Yeah. You know, when it comes down to this. I mean, from the MLB, NBA, the NCAA. I mean, that's even crazy for me to say, the NCAA. Just because, you know, I went to the University of Miami. I've seen how strong the NCAA can be when they want to put their hammer down or something. For them to remove something like that out of the banned substance, I mean, it's a great win for every person that wants to continue sport in a less harmful way.
Let's stay on college then. Where do you think it's going to go from here?
What I'm more interested is the research that can be done now. Like, you're telling me if college athletes are not being tested they're not being tested for because they're removing all the banned substance list. Now that gives a chance for, you know, schools like the University of Miami to now research athletes who do want to use certain cannabinoids for recovery to see what those effects are like to really make a difference. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's so, because we're saying, like you said, 18-year, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, 21-year-old using some form of cannabinoids, which is he has a cannabinoid system, to now affect his recovery and is working. I mean, that just, it leaves such an open door to get real research done and for the NFL to have a model of, you know, what cannabinoids can do. I mean, I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is doing, but obviously something's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a month ago, 2 months ago, he tore his Achilles?
Yeah.
He was walking, throwing the ball.
I was about to say, there's no way. There's no way. That's like stem cell type shit. There's no way that you.
Or is it? Or is it plant medicine? Is it proper treatment? Is it something that we haven't, as athletes, been you know, equipped to?
I think people don't understand. It's like when you talk about technology, when we talk about recovery technology, you immediately think of something physical. Like, I got my foam roller right here. I remember when you couldn't find these anywhere. You know what I mean? When you would go to the gym, if you went to a gym with a foam roller, it was like, oh, they're not messing around. And people started to realize the idea, for real. People started to realize, like, yo, these are game changers because of the ability to push out lactic acid. I recover fast, which means I can do more. Yeah. Cannabis is the next frontier on that. So what do you think it's going to do for the longevity of sports, especially football? Because I'm very interested to see what happens when it's introduced in football.
I mean, it might have that same effect. I mean, you think about it. I think about when I was in college, you're right. I mean, like, they're innovative. They got foam rollers. They got, steel machines and so on and so forth. So,
like, a TRX roll was like, what? Like, oh, you got a TRX machine? Like, it was just, you know? We was used to dumbbells and bench press. And
I remember when I was in college, they were still doing your body fat with a clip thing. You remember?
Exactly. Exactly. Now they got the whole machine.
So, I'm hoping that, you know, I mean, with the way, the trajectory of medicine and things around medicine and sport has worked. I'm hoping for the same trajectory. We reached to a point where now it's, at one point it was crazy to see a foam roller. Now, you know, now we're thinking, hey, to see topicals in the training room, lying on the Lion Balm, which is Lion Balm's a number two, second place cannabis cut winner in Michigan for topicals. So, you know, to be able to see things like that in an athletic program anywhere is going to be like phone world. It's like, hey, people see that and say, they on to the next one. They on to the next thing. They're trying to make sure their players have the best. And they're trying to equip them with everything they can to put them at an elite level.
Real quick, we jump into the halftime moment, mental health check. Apart from line order, apart from cannabis, apart from everything else, how are you?
I think, and I'm going to be a little candid here, I think what is like affecting my mental health, you know, these past few months, just with small stories I hear about athletes going through certain things, it kind of triggers me, you know, because I've been through certain things and, you know, my headspace and trying to manage that and keep that proper. You know, I just hate to see other athletes going through that. So I think for me, I've been okay. You know, I've been doing the things that I need to do because I know what to do. And my worth to this life is so important that I know I have to continue those things, continue that management. Yeah. But it's a struggle for me to see so many guys struggling, you know, so many men and women struggling. So I think it definitely triggers my mental health more than I would like it to, but I'm you know, it's hard. It's hard to say you're not okay just because you've been through so much and you understand how to kind of keep up with that persona. But, you know, every day is not rainbows and sunshine, and every day is not terrible neither. Yeah. You know, so, you know, I'm lucky to be alive. I'm happy to be upright, you know, and there's not much that I can complain about just because I have an opportunity and a chance to be able to do something about those things. So, you know, I'm solid.
I mean, shit, that's a sign of a great man, like, especially for us men. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't speak for women because I'm not one. But as far as men go, I know we have a tendency to kind of I'ma-ite ourselves to death. You know what I mean? And keep saying, I'm okay. Like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm straight. I'm straight. I'm good. And then next thing you know, it's like, you know, somebody, one of our loved ones asking what happened. And it's like, you know, all that weight that you kept bottling up, kept pushing down, that shit just, it exploded. So I understand that. So number one, thank you for being vulnerable in that way.
Yeah.
But number two, like I said, it's a sign of a great man of having empathy. It's easy for us to also, when we're sitting there carrying the weight of some shit that we have going on with ourselves, say, man, F, X, Y, and Z's problem.
Yeah.
Look at mine. You know what I mean? So the fact that you're, with the weight of everything that you're doing, can still look at somebody else. And obviously, I don't want you getting triggered, but to me, empathy is the way we all heal. This is the way, you know what I mean? It's like high tide raises all ships type shit. Like, you need everybody to at least feel for the next person. You ain't got to know their experience, but if you feel for the next person, I got to imagine that's the step in the right direction. So,
yeah, man, I definitely, you know, being conscious of what's going on, it really can help you answer some questions that you may have going on. Like, sometimes, you know, we look at others and we say, wow, you know, if that was me, I'd do this, but it could be you right now.
You're not really
taking the chance of being honest with yourself to say, man, I've been on edge and things ain't been right. And the wrong conversation could send me over, you know? So you
hand me all eight circumstances, I would do the same thing. You know what I mean? Like,
So, I mean, just being conscious of that and trying to be, you know, invigorating for myself and understand, like, all right, Mike, there's a lot to be done within you. And there's a lot to be done in this world. And you have to be, you know, patient with yourself and patient with everybody else and manage these things on a daily and to get through.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man, for sure.
We're going to go ahead and jump into the halftime moment. You know, our few moments. I see you've been in your routine. I dig it. And I dig it because it's just making it flow. But I got to jump into it. This is the halftime moment sponsored by Heisman and the Daily Sparkman Greatness, retired NFL legend. Like I said, cannabis advocate and co-founder of Lion Order, Mike James. Me personally, I'm about to smoke on this Heisman Halftime. It's one of their finest strains. It's the post-game. So this is like the indica dominant flower. It has the terpenes, the profiles to give it a little bit of taste, but it's real good for pain relief and relaxation. And for me, I hit the gym before this interview. So I was like, perfect. This is going to be perfect on the way down after the interview. Yeah. Chill out for a minute before I go with the rest of the day. But make sure you spark greatness wherever you go and check out www.heisman.com to just learn more. It ain't got to be old cop something, but just to get yourself educated. With that said, I don't have a lighter. I got a light of old school with a damn matchbox like you in the 50s and shit. But I'm about to ask you, what you smoking on?
I'm smoking on a High Times Cup Award winner, King Clementine by Lion Order by Rohan Marley. It's crossed between Tropicana Cookies and Sun Fuel. Genetics, proprietary genetics, cultivated by Rohan himself and our partners at Heavyweight Heads in Detroit. So it's amazing. You know, I mean, it's one of my favorites. You know, it's one of Michigan's favorites. You know, you can go get that at over 100 dispensaries in Michigan. So if you're out in Michigan, you know, you want to go grab that King Clementine Cannabis Cup Award winner. Mike James said, telling you first, it's some of the best you're going to have. You know, proprietary genetics from us, Heavyweight Heads. Mm-hmm. They've been deep in the game in Detroit, so you already know they're cracking that punch.
I like that. When you talk about Lion Order, you mentioned Michigan a lot. And I noticed you in particular, you have a one step at a time approach. you're not, when you talk about line order, you don't talk about, we're going to take over the world. You know what I mean? We're going to shock the world. It's just like, for right now, where we at, go get us. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm in Michigan. Michigan is the home base. That's where I'm starting it off. Where does that come from? Because I have to imagine that same quality helped you in sports as well. People don't understand that, like, some of the people, some of the best people in business and in sports understand the mentality. I had a coach used to say, everybody wants to swing for home runs. Sometimes just get your ass on base. See what happens when you get on base and what happens when the whole team starts to move that way. Where does that mindset for you come from?
I mean, it comes from two things. It comes from, you know, Lion Order story of King Clementine from Kingston to Miami to Detroit. And then for me, you know, it's the same thing. It's taking it step by step in the league, taking it step by step to get my collegiate career, to get to where I needed to be even now in retirement, taking things step by step. You know, we talked about mental health earlier, and I think that's a big thing that plays into mental health is taking care of the now, you know, not being too worried about the future, not being too concerned with the past, but being invested in the power of now. So, you know, it's two things that, you know, help me to be able to take things step by step is knowing that Clean Clementine story from our brand, Roster Man Andretti comes from Kingston, Miami to Detroit. And me and my step-by-step process of trying to get cannabis, you know, recognized in, you know, sports the way that I did, you know, so that patience comes from that.
Did that play into your game? Like, was there a way you saw that pop up in real time? And what I'm trying to get to is, I'll give you an example. I've always had a thing for timing. Ooh. I've always understood the idea of good timing. And then when I started playing basketball, ironically enough, one of the things I did best was blocking. Because I understood the timing of when to jump. I understood, okay, this is when this person is probably going to take off. This is when they're going to try to throw a floater up. I became very good at blocking because of that life, you know, that life taught lesson of, okay, this is what good timing gets you. For you, that patience and step by step, did that show up in a tangible way on the field?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, I always try to live by a quote, perfect timing is never too late. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's just right on perfect time. It's always right on time. And always when I played the game and when I thought about life, I thought about the artistry of it all. You know, I thought about the flow and the smoothness and the game management, you know, the whole game. So timing was always something that was keen to me, especially playing running back. You know, I mean, every step here, step there, you know, look here, look there. I could miss the hole and not do the things I need to do. So timing was very important, you know, even – now in my life now, I try to understand that, you know, patience is not an inaction and violence is not a demonstration of strength. And that kind of keeps me in a position where, you know, I understand that patience is a virtue for me. And it doesn't mean that I'm not doing anything. It just means the right time it hasn't equipped itself yet.
Transitioning, like I said, we would get back to it. The High Times Cannabis Cup Award. Talk to me about it. Like I said, we've touched on it several times, but I really want to, number one, get your opinion on, what did it mean to win that?
I mean, it felt great to win. I mean, it let us know with being a new brand in that space, not a new brand in life, because Lion Order's been going on for a long time. But to be a new brand in that space and to be recognized by the people, you know, not only for the flower, but for the branding and the things that took place to get it there. I mean, it was a great accomplishment. And we, you know, we look forward to, you know, placing in every cannabis cup that we can and hopefully, you know, taking that top spot with respect to all the other brands out there, you know.
And talk to me about the place that King Clementine played in that.
King Clementine was, you know, our, you know, like I said, we spoke on the brand story earlier, but it's also our third, you know, our third place in the Cannabis Cup Award, you know, as Sativa, medical cannabis. So, I mean, it's a cross between Tropicana Cookies and Sun Fuel. I mean, it's something that is a proprietary genetic from us, and we believe in it very strongly. I mean, we think it's, you know, one of the best out there. And it's, you know, if you don't have it on your shelves in Michigan, you probably should. And if you don't have it in your territory yet, you know, you should find a way to try to get a King Clementine in there, because we do feel like it's going to be one of those staple strands for generations to come, you know, just like we've seen throughout, you know, this staple strand continue to get crossed with other things because it has been such a staple in, you know, in the community.
I got to ask you, because I just realized something, like, what makes a strand outside of likability, obviously, become one of those all-time, you know, the gelatos of the world, the you know, the cookies, the purple hazes of the world? What makes what gets a strain to that level?
Of course, you know, the right growing process, the right, you know, branding and marketing. But, you know, this plant is a female plant. And it's just like, you know, treating a female right, if you have the right purposes for her and mm-hmm. putting her out into this world, she's going to be respected as that. So mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, from a deeper standpoint, I think that is the biggest thing when it comes down to King Clementine. It's like we know the plant is a female and we have the best intentions for her. So we put her out into this world, the world's going to see her the same way that we do. And, you know, that's why I felt like some strands have caught fire and, you know, taken over certain, you know, times and, you know, time periods, you know.
It sounds like something you would want to have. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, and like I said, there's certain names that when you hear them, like, I remember like the first time I heard J. Cole's name, like it was just like, you know what I mean? Like something in you just goes, pay attention. You know what I mean? It could be something that's just a moment. It could be seasonal, or it could be, this is the first time I heard something legendary. You know what I mean? Right. And when you said King Clementine the first time, I was like, I could see me going, you know, into a dispensary anywhere halfway across the world. You could be in fucking Barcelona and pull up and it's like, I got to get X. And I wanted to know, outside of likability and obviously the ability to grow it on a large scale, what would it take to get that? That actually transitioned me right into the idea of luxury root lifestyle brand. When you hear that, like, where does your mind go?
Yeah. Well, we call it Roots Luxury for sure. And like when we talk about Roots Luxury, we talk about it means integrity. We talk about value and self-worth, you know, keeping that same love throughout for self, for everyone in this world. So, I mean, that's why we feel that, you know, Roots Luxury and how we live our lives is so strong because, you know, with Rohan being an example, I mean, everybody that knows Ro knows how strong he is, you know, what he stands for, how that carries throughout his conversations, to how he treats people, how he treats his family, so on and so forth. So that Roots Luxury is something that carries over, you know, not just inside the brand, but to our regular lives and how we, you know, handle our day to days.
The partnership with 305 Farms and Heavyweight Heads, what does that mean for y'all?
I mean, just giving us the chance to be able to do the things in Michigan that we would like to do. I mean, they're strategic partners of ours, and we've you know, been close friends of, you know, our partners have been close friends for a long time. So, you know, the ability to be able to put this this conglomerate together and be able to have a footprint in Michigan the way that we're doing it. I mean, we think there's no three, you know, brands, if you will, companies, if you will, that can come together and do something like we can.
To see y'all like take over Michigan and then it goes from a Michigan proud brand. I got a special respect for the Midwest. I'm from Philly, but you know, Chicago, Indiana, we've had some games there. There's just the Midwest. I remember I touched down the first time for basketball reasons. It just felt right. I was like, you know what I mean? Maybe in a past life, I was from the Midwest, but y'all have a blue collar approach, but y'all take some of the edge off that the West does. And it's ironic that y'all are right in the middle, because obviously the East Coast can be very, let's go all the time. And then out here, I'm like, come on, let's go, let's wake up, let's move. Mm-hmm. And like the Midwest, y'all are decent.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Florida. And when I went to I'd never been to Michigan before.
Yeah.
So when I went to Detroit for the first time, it was an eye-opening experience. I met so many great people, met so many great families, made so many good friends. And it's like, I still say it's one of the best places in this world. If you can go there and really enjoy the people and have a chance to really be around the people, man, some of the most solid people I've ever been around in my life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like straight shooters, you know, like real people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do right by their people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I never had a problem in Detroit.
Yeah.
It was, you know, because I know how to move with respect as well, and it's a respectable place. You know what I'm saying? So I got nothing but great things to say about the state of Michigan and especially the city of Detroit, you know?
I love that, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, Detroit, you know, like I say, I got nothing but great things to say about it. You know, when I say the heart and soul of America, you know, I mean that in so many other ways than maybe America has demonstrated that, you know, because I know Detroit in such a different way. You know, when I talk about people that look like me and you in Detroit, just, I mean, are doing wonderful things, you know. And, and I think the world is going to, in the next couple of years, and like they've been, you know, in recent years, is going to really get put on notice about, you know, the strength and soul and what Detroit and Michigan is really about, you know. So
yeah,
I'm proud to say that our brand is there, and I'm proud to be a part of the inner workings of, you know, Michigan and Detroit, and doing what I can to hopefully make that city the best city, you know, in this country, you know, from the standpoints of other people, because I already see it that way.
In business and in football, what is an obstacle you had to overcome that seemed to be in both of them? I think it's so interesting for ex-athletes. To me, you could compare us to superheroes or supervillains that hung up their capes, and you kind of go off in this civilian life. But I have to imagine for you, as far in as you are in business at this point, there's something you've seen that this lesson popped up in football. And what's the biggest one for you?
It's just not sacrificing what I really want in life or what I want at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the biggest lesson that has popped up, you know, in business and, you know, when it, you know, it showed itself in football, you know. But now I think being at the age that I am, the age of 32, that I'm that I have now tried to, you know, be more conscious and grasp that concept of not sacrificing the things I want right now for the things that I really want in life.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on the Sports Cannabis. Like I said, I'm your host, D-Ray. I want to give a very special thanks to my gentleman, bro. Thank you for joining us. Make sure y'all stay tuned for another episode coming soon. Follow, like, and subscribe. The Halftime Report for infused conversations with former athletes, advocates, and professional breaking barriers around the world. So join the movement, sportscannabis.life, and let's keep changing the game together.